TR's News Collective.
At large.
Is that too short?
No.
At large.
From CITR's News Collective. Lola, why don't you try it?
Take. You're listening to At Large from the News Collective at CITR.
I came in this very skeptical and agnostic, and I read every report, and I talked to a lot of people in coming to the decision, and I have landed on the fact that I think this is the right technology to solve that problem. It is the right technology because, as Mr. Todd Ryan said, there is no way that any other technology comes close to handling the ridership that's needed on this route.
That's incumbent Green City Councillor Adrian Carr speaking at debate over whether to extend Broadway Rapid Transit from Arbutus all the way to UBC.
I'm a pragmatist, and if I know that one of the big concerns that people have is around funding and money and how much money, which almost all the speakers talked about, goes into this corridor, and I see a chance for funding in the multi-billions from various sources, and that timing is critical around the access to that funding, I'm a pragmatist enough to say, then let's go for it.
Although the Vancouver Greens have traditionally been critical of subways and SkyTrains, saying such infrastructure is not the cheapest or most environmentally friendly way to build transit, when it came to last night's vote to build a subway or SkyTrain all the way to UBC along the Broadway corridor, Adrian Carr and her fellow two Green City councillors were all in favor. My name's Alex DeBoer. Today I spoke with Globe and Mail City Hall reporter Frances Beulah about what last night's vote on rapid transit can teach us about Vancouver's new city council, such as how the Greens seem to be taking a new approach to transit, and how the council's two most politically opposed councillors, the NPA's Colleen Hardwick and COPE's Jean Swanson, have a bit more in common than we all thought. Take a listen.
Hey, Alex. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Frances. I'm good. How are you?
I am good. We're just leaving Surrey.
Okay.
Back onto the freeway. Very exciting. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Is it a good time to call?
Yeah, this is perfect.
Okay, excellent.
If we get much further, you know, once I get into the mountains, I probably won't have cell reception, so this is like the best time.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time once again to talk to me. So the reason I wanted to talk to you was because yesterday, as you know, City Council passed a motion to support extending the Broadway subway to UBC, and you were at City Hall live tweeting for most of the day. So one of the tweets you wrote said, we should have had exactly this debate before the election. It lays out much more clearly where everyone stands. And I thought that was interesting and was wondering if you could expand on what you meant by that.
Well, I mean, it was an interesting test of a real, you know, a really critical decision. And I think that, you know, before the election, people tend to say things that they think will not get them into too much trouble. So they tend not to make firm commitments, or they will say, yes, I support transit, but they won't say exactly what types of transit they might support. So, you know, it was fascinating to see. This was a really difficult decision for many people to make because there are a lot of questions about, is, you know, an expensive subway line the best way to go, or an expensive SkyTrain line, and what will putting in a subway across the west side mean for development around that line? Everyone knew that there were people who wanted them to vote against the idea of having a SkyTrain line at all. So it was a really good test of exactly what was going to matter the most to them, you know, where they were going to come down in the end on a difficult decision.
Right. And I mean, it seemed like Mayor Kennedy Stewart, who tabled the motion, it seemed like he was putting a lot of pressure and in his, you know, presentation of the motion was, you yeah. know, expressing how much timing was of the essence, and that if they didn't vote on this now, basically they wouldn't be able to get funding for it from the federal government.
I mean, it was quite surprising how forceful he was, because until now he's been the kind of mayor who's like, well, you know, we'll all come together at some point, you'll see, and everybody gets their say. But he was right out there at council saying, if you don't vote for this, we close the door on our ability to get anything at all. That was a pretty black and white statement. I mean, I'm not sure that people who voted were swayed by that so much as possibly what they were hearing from their own constituents and supporters. I thought what Rebecca Bly said was really interesting. I wasn't sure which way she was going to go, but she said, you know, I have a lot of teenagers and 20-somethings in my life, and they just don't get why we're even hesitating about this. They're just, you know, saying, let's get on with it. Like, what are we doing? You know, I think that actually played a bigger role for many people, was what their supporters were urging them to do.
Right. That's interesting. And then the two councillors who voted against this motion were, from my perspective, the two most politically opposed members of council, which is Colleen Hardwick yeah. and Jean Swanson. So I was wondering...
Right, on the extreme right and the yeah. extreme left. Yeah, for sure. But there is it's interesting. It's not as surprising when you think about it, because there is a point at which the left and right meet when it comes to, you know, we don't want our neighborhoods taken over by evil developers building condos around SkyTrain. Like, there's a place where the two arrows come around and meet at the other end there.
Right.
And one of the interesting things, too, I thought of with those two is they're also the two oldest members of council. And I think that the vote showed a bit of a generational divide. You know, like, the old activism is to, like, resist big projects, resist anything that seems to favor developers, whereas the younger members of council seem to be listening more to younger people who supported them, who were saying, hey, we want to get around this region, and would you guys stop arguing about it and just do it?
Right. And it makes me think of the sort of grid that I interviewed Ian Bushfield of the Canby Report about, which was, there was the classic left to right, and then also the urbanist versus conservationist way of, like, mm-hmm. positioning people politically.
Yeah.
Also, you tweeted that the Greens had always been dubious about SkyTrains, and then in this case, all three Greens voted in favor of extending.
I have to say, that was stunning. That was the biggest shift that really? I've seen, because really, they have basically, you know, Adrian Carr seemed to, you know, kind of be tied at the hip to UBC professor Patrick Condon, who has lobbied for years saying that SkyTrain is ridiculous, overbuilt, expensive, unenvironmental, and that what Vancouver needs is like a streetcar system on all of its arterials. So, I mean, to hear her shift on that position, really, that was, for me, just really surprising.
Do you have any idea why that shift took place?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Greens, you know, they've said it themselves. When Adrian was on council before, she was in opposition, so it was her role to challenge vision all the time and present the other side. Now, they control, you know, like, they can swing the vote on council, that their support makes the difference between whether something potentially passes or doesn't pass. And they're taking some different positions. And I think also they have heard from, again, their supporters, people who voted for them, who are saying, why would you vote against a rapid transit system? Like, in what way does that serve greenness to mm-hmm. not facilitate rapid transit and thereby force people to commute in horrible ways all over the region?
Right. And then I was also wondering, you've covered, obviously, City Hall for a while, and I'm wondering how, like, covering this vote yesterday, how this compares with other major transit projects like the 99B line being put in place.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'd compare it more to is the debate over the Canada line, like where it should run, and that was a lot more fraught. Like, this was easier in some ways, right? Because there was a huge debate back in the early 2000s about should it go down Cambie or Granville, or even Arbutus, you know, just, and a lot of opposition to the line, much stronger than what I saw recently, partly because the left was very unhappy that it was a T3.
Right.
So part of the opposition was because of that. But this actually seemed way less fraught. Like, it sort of seemed like people have accepted this is the way transit is going to work in this region. And, you know, there's kind of a few holdouts, but really it feels like the needle has moved significantly.
And do you think that's because of the perceived success of the Canada line and the B line?
I would say that's part of it. You know, there was so much opposition to the Canada line. So many people saying, oh, it's not going to be used. It's going to be underused. We're going to spend $2 billion and you'll never get those ridership figures. And the ridership actually far exceeded the projections, mm-hmm. you know, very early on. And it's proven to be hugely popular with people. So, you know, the construction was a bit of a hash, but the actual use of the line, you know, it's clear that people use it a lot. And so I think everyone gets now, and especially in central Vancouver, you know, a lot of people, the Expo line doesn't mean that much to them because it's kind of ferrying people in from Surrey and New Westminster and Burnaby into Vancouver. But, you know, the Canada line, right in Vancouver, showed how popular, you know, rapid transit is.
Right. And then, were there any other interesting takeaways from yesterday you wanted to mention before I let you go?
No, I mean, I think the Greens, that was the most interesting thing. We're seeing yet again that there's a bit of a split in the NPA between Colleen Hardwick and the rest of her party.
Yeah.
And, you know, she is clearly kind of the one the most advocates the most forcefully for, like, you know, not changing neighborhoods, not allowing too much change, you know, being very conservationist, as you called it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the biggest thing was the three Greens all supporting this. Like, that really signals a shift in how they're going to handle it issues.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I appreciate your insights.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, have fun, Alex.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Thanks for your time. Bye, Francis. Thank you for listening. This piece was edited, reported, and produced by myself, Alex DeBoer. Song featured is Misfit by Young Carts. Special thanks to Francis Beulah for her time and the entire team at the CITR News Collective.